fact, I want to tie in with two people I have a lot of respect for, and that's former United States Senators Byron Dorgan and Ken Conrad. Senator Conrad, good to have you on News and Views.
Always good to be with you, Joel.
And Senator Dorgan, you as well. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to do it, of course.
I'm going to begin with you, Byron. We spoke for a while this morning, and you said you had the privilege of meeting this man.
Well, you know, we struck a congressional gold medal for him, and he came to the rotunda and gave a speech. I was able to shake his hand. He was quite an extraordinary person. He exuded an elegant grace and strength that was pretty extraordinary. And I went back this morning and reread his speech from that day in 1998. The other thing I remember about him is I remember watching the television set the day he was released from prison after serving 27 years. And at his trial, you know, he said, "I was made by law a criminal, not for what I did, but for what I stood for and what I thought." And then 27 years later, after spending all of that time in a prison cell, he was released and became president of his country. What an unbelievable inspiration to the world.
Senator Conrad, will you ever forget? I mean, Kent, will you ever forget meeting a man like that?
No, I remember being so struck by how regal he was and how what a commanding presence he was and how others looked at him as almost a spiritual figure. So he filled a room, and you had this sense about him that he had qualities that you wish you had.
I don't doubt that. The one thing that I took away from watching some of the news clips last night, guys, was what Bill Clinton said. And Senator Conrad, I'm going to go to you first on this. He said that after all of this had ended, he had the power to make this government anything he wanted, and instead he made it a democracy. And I'd love your thoughts on that, Kent.
You know, it kind of reminds you of the best of our own values and our own traditions. George Washington was in much the same situation when he was our first president. Everybody understood that he could have chosen to become a dictator. He did not. Instead, he chose a democratic form of government that he supported, and of course, the other founding fathers crafted, which has stood the test of time and is the most remarkable experiment in human history. So Nelson Mandela had those same qualities, a commanding leader who could see over the horizon and understand that the best form of government is when everyone has a say, and it's not just top-down.
Senator Dorgan, when you think about how far his reach went, everybody points to South Africa, but I know you and others have made the argument that his reach went far beyond South Africa.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he became a symbol for the world. You know, he's a man who, after 27 years in prison, said, "Hatred destroys you." He said, you know, he began working with those who put him in prison to rebuild a country and create a new nation. And, you know, his speech at the Congressional Gold Medal Ceremony here thanked the United States for what we did to help the birth of this new nation. You know, Kent and I had lunch together yesterday, and we always talk about the privilege of serving North Dakota for so many years and decades in Congress for both of us. And, you know, one of the remarkable opportunities is not just to provide service, but to meet a Nelson Mandela or Rosa Parks or Lech Walesa or Mother Teresa, the, you know, unbelievable people on this planet who do extraordinary things. And Nelson Mandela ranks right up at the top of that list. He was an inspiration to the world and an unbelievable man of peace who created a demonstration for everybody about how to get along and how to resolve differences.
Senator Conrad, in your mind, do you believe that a Nelson Mandela changes us as Americans to the point where Americans who maybe would never have voted for a black presidential candidate before did now, and we end up with a black president?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think he contributed to an atmosphere in which it was seen that racial differences or ethnic differences or any other kinds of differences shouldn't be the deciding factor. It should be the character of the individual. And I think he absolutely contributed to the climate that made possible the first African-American president of the United States. One other thing I should say to you, Joel, is the most striking thing he said to me, his parting words were to me, "I like you so much better than the other senator from North Dakota."
You know, Byron, you knew he was going to throw some shot in, didn't you?
You know, Kent has always had a difficult time hearing properly.
Can I ask this? Which one of you two bought lunch yesterday? Can we get Byron, Kent, who picked up the tab?
Kent, why don't you tell him?
I think I did.
Yeah, I don't think so.
guys, I want to make sure that AJ gets on. I think I know what AJ wants to say, and it comes best. One thing I loved about having you two serve North Dakota was you always were willing to come on News and Views, whether it was Ed Schultz that had this show or myself, and take some phone calls. Let's get AJ on with you. AJ, you're on with two former senators from North Dakota.
Yeah, good morning, Joel. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I just want to express to both former Senator Conrad and Dorgan my absolute thanks for passing this Affordable Health Care Act. I have a son with pre-existing conditions, muscular dystrophy to be specific. Because of this bill, we were able to change policies, save some money, and maintain the same good quality health care that he had with the previous policy we had. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Guys, I'm going to go with you first, Senator Conrad. What's your answer to that?
Well, it was awfully nice of him to call, and I think people are going to find about the new health care law that there's a lot more good about it than is understood. And a lot of things that have been said about it that are just not true. And despite the rocky rollout, I think over time you're going to hear a lot more stories like that one, that the positives of this law. And we should understand for the vast majority of people in the country, it doesn't change their health care coverage because they've got health care coverage at the office. But for those that couldn't afford it before, those who were denied because of pre-existing conditions, or those who were knocked out because of lifetime limits, people who are the sickest among us, through no fault of their own, are going to be able to have health care insurance coverage. And it's not government-run insurance. There's so many people that say to me, "Kent, how could you have voted for government-run insurance?" Well, this is not government-run. It's private insurance. The role the government has is to help those buy insurance who could not otherwise afford to do so. And it's in all of our interest to have that happen, because people who aren't covered do get treated. It's the law in this country. If you go to a hospital and you're sick and you don't have insurance, you get treated. Who pays for that? All the rest of us pay for it. And so it's much better for us if people have insurance coverage that pays for it, even if we're helping them afford to get it. Because at the end of the day, they then get coverage. They again get treatment before illnesses become more serious and more costly, and because it's just the right thing to do.
Senators, and I'll go with you first on this, Senator Dorgan, no regrets on voting for the Affordable Care Act?
No, none. You know, look, the negative side takes no preparation, and Mark Twain said that long ago. I understand it's easy to be against things. It's hard. It's very hard to do big things that are necessary and important. And, you know, we should all just answer this question. Would we like to have unimpeded this relentless growth of healthcare costs every year that's eating up family budgets, eating up the budget of state and the federal government, and business companies that are business corporations and others that are providing benefits for their workers? It was unsustainable. And so how do you get your arms around that? And Kent said it absolutely correctly. This is not government-run healthcare. It just is not. It uses the private insurance system and sets up exchanges and so on. So, I thank the person that called in. There are so many Americans that are not able to get health insurance, are not able to change jobs because of losing health insurance with pre-existing conditions and so on. I have a wonderful daughter who's 24 years old. She's still on my insurance policy because the law says you can keep your kids on to age 26. She has a pre-existing condition, so when she gets to be 26 and goes looking for her a new insurance policy, she's not going to be turned down because the new law says you can't turn down somebody for a pre-existing condition, Joel. So I don't have regrets, I appreciated Kent's answer. I think it was, extensive and right on point. This piece of legislation is going to work, and I think work well, to help people get better health care coverage and help reduce the cost of health care in the long term.
Guys, I can't let you go without asking you this. You served this state for many, many years, and you passed many farm bills along the way. You dealt with ag policy all throughout your careers, both as a state and federal public servant. Why in the world has it taken this long? And I'll start with you, Senator Conrad, to get an ag bill passed.
Well, the simple answer is Republicans in the House of Representatives don't want to pass a farm bill. They're really ideologically opposed, don't believe in farm legislation. And so they have no incentive to get the job done, even though a really good bipartisan bill passed the United States Senate. And much thanks are due to our two senators, Heidi Heitkamp and John Hoeven, worked across the aisle to get farm legislation passed in the Senate that's good for North Dakota, good for the nation. And one just has to hope that at some point the House wakes up to the need for legislation that's critically important to a major sector of this economy.
Senator Dargan, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's the case, and it's also, that it's not just the farm bill that's not getting done. Nothing's getting done. You know, if you're serving in Congress today and nourished by accomplishment, you're starving. The two senators, as Kent said, Heidi and John, have pushed very hard to try to get this done. And let me just make one other comment about the farm programs. You know, all of the time I served in Congress, I felt the farm program is about helping family farmers through tough times. That's what it ought to be about. And some of it has become, a huge gift to the biggest corporate outfits, particularly down south, millions of dollars a year from farming the farm program for cotton and rice and other areas. And, I think that some of that needs to be changed so that it becomes, once again, a bridge to help family farmers through tough times, because those tough times come and you don't want to wash away all family farmers that are out there working the land. But the Congress ought to get this farm program done, and I hope that'll be the case.
Senators, thanks for your service to the state. Thanks for your memories of a great man in Nelson Mandela, and thanks for staying in touch with the people that, if they had a chance, they'd vote for you again tomorrow. Appreciate you both coming on News and Views.
Thanks, Joel.
Good to talk, Joel.
You bet. We'll do it again soon. Senators Byron Dargan and Senator Kent Conrad.